introduce our guest. And as I said, first service, if I would have 30 minutes, I could go on and on and on about this man and what he has meant to the kingdom of God, how God has used him. He was part of the startup with International House of Prayer in the worship music for, I think, 11 or 12 years. He served Mike Bickle in that capacity. He served the Arnotts up in Toronto. There has been a lot of things that God has placed him in, churches where he has ministered to. He's also, you may not know this, he also is an author, and he has written books that are just really, really great. His newest book that's out, and see, I'm doing this because he's a very humble guy, and he probably wouldn't do this on his own, so I'm doing it for him. His new book called Unstuck, Hope for Christians in a Dead-End Job, Dead-End Faith, and Some Similar Soul-Shriveling Rut. Love that title. It's just great. And several other of his books. He's also a composer of worship music. Many of you may remember the song Dance With Me. He's the author of that. And God has just used him. So we have CDs and books, and y'all can see those on your way out. But what I really am just thrilled about is that this is a man whose God has used worldwide to impact the kingdom of God. And yet, for some reason, God reason, he has been connected to this house, and God has used him in the past and is using him even presently to speak wise counsel to us and to be part of this because he has a love for us. He has a love for the people of this house. God has connected our hearts. Would you give him a harvest welcome, Mr. Chris Dupre?
Thank you. If you were here at the first service, you would have seen the fall of man. I didn't make it all the way up the stairs. Well, eventually I did, but it was... it's awesome to be here. It's actually been a while. Way too long. It's what, 5 years or something like that. So during that time, you may notice that actually churches change. Does anybody ever notice that churches go through things? I'm going to talk turkey today, so I'm just one of those that I don't know why, but a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. I end up saying things and get into situations that... I get away with saying things, and people afterwards go, "Did you just tell me I was wrong?" I remember one time I had to sit a guy down. So he and his wife were there, and Mike, he said, "I want Mike Bickle to be there." So Mike was there at the lunch because I want him to hear what I have to say. And so I remember we were talking, and when lunch was all over with, the guy said, "Ron, I just want to thank you for everything that you said. That was really helpful, and I'll do it." And then they left, and Mike turned to me and goes, "Did I just see what I thought I said? Saw?" And I said, "What did you think you saw?" He said, "You just told the guy in like 3 or 4 ways that he was wrong, and he smiled and thanked you and said, that really helps." And he goes, "I'm not used to that." So anyway, it was kind of funny. All that to say is that you are going through things. One of my favorite titles, and Facebook, they always want, "What's your title?" So I'm Honey, Dad, Papa, and to a whole lot of people, I'm Papa Chris, or to a select group of YWAM students, Papa Dukes, because they found out that growing up my nickname was Duke, so now I'm Papa Duke to them. So, but I love that. My desire is to see people come into who they're called to be and what they're called to do. But it has to be in that order. Because if you get into doing what you're called to do without a rooting system of who you're called to be, you will do things that you're not called to do, and you'll end up doing them in a way that is not the most beneficial. So I will talk as much honestly to you as I can in my heart. I've been invited here. I've been working with the elders for, I don't know, it's a couple months now at least. But I mean, over time, it's been over time. Harold is like a son to me. Harold and Joy, I love their family. I love their girls. I've known them for years. And there's just a number of things here that people are going through. So with that, I have to start out with something that is on the more serious side. Are you okay? Okay. So a son said to his father, Dad, where do people come from? Well, son, years ago, Adam and Eve had children, and those children had children, and they grew up, and those children had children, and it went through generation after generation after generation until finally, here we are. Huh, okay. So he goes to his mother and says, Mom, where do people come from? Because you know, if you've ever had children, they go to their father, and then they go to their mother, and they look for the best possible way for themselves. And then they skew it. They go, well, Dad said, you know. So she goes and says, Mom, where do people come from? She says, well, generations ago, we were apes. And then over generations, we kind of changed and became the people that we are today. So he goes back to his father, and he's mad. And he goes, Dad, I am mad. Why are you mad? Because you lied to me. Because I didn't lie to you. Yeah, well, Mom said that generations ago, we were apes, and that over time, we evolved into the human beings we are today. He goes, oh, no, no, son, she's just talking about her side of the family. Oh, okay. I don't know why I love that joke so much. Because I guess it's the dad that was right and the mother is never right. Got to take advantage of them where you can. You were talking about thankfulness up here just a minute ago, and I was just reminded of Psalm 100 and where it speaks about enter his gates with thanksgiving. And we all hear that, yeah, come to the church, come to the place of gathering, and come with a thankful heart. True. But the connotation, one of the things that David's trying to say to us is that before you get to the place where God is in the corporate presence, come with a thankful heart, not for what he's going to do, but because you know that he is always good. Because if you come with a thankful heart because he's going to do such and such, and he doesn't do such and such, what happens? Well, man, God really disappointed me. Well, no, you had an expectation that wasn't God. And whenever we have an expectation that's not God and we think that this is the way it should be, I don't know about you, has anybody had the perfect life? Let me put it this way. Has anybody ever expected things to take place that always did? Okay, anyone? So that changes a couple things. A few different things happen then. Either we learn after hitting the brick wall over a while, I should not run head first into a brick wall. So in other words, that's called gaining wisdom. We gain wisdom from a situation. And so we either, one of the two, we don't gain, and we hit the brick wall again, and we get mad at God, and we get mad at people, right? Or we hit the brick wall, and we go, huh, well, maybe I should try coming at it from a different way. And that's good. But one of the things we have to go back and really do is prayerfully consider, is this thing that I'm wanting and expecting, is it God to begin with? Now, you are in the middle of, and you know what I really appreciate? And are you highlighting these at all? No. Okay. Then I won't. You did not. Do you mind if I do? Okay. Because they're all in the back, and people can pick them up, and then they can read them, and then they'll know what's on it. It's amazing. I just love the fact that okay, here we got questions you have considering the transition. I don't know if you know it, but you're going through a transition. Has anybody told you that? Yes, but things will be pretty much the same. No, they won't. You know that, you ready for this one? It's something like 75% of people hate change. 90% of people don't like change. And must have covered something up. 91, I don't know where they get with 91%, but they came up with 91% of people won't change a situation even if they're told if they keep doing it, it will lead to their death. Did you hear that? 91% of people won't change something even if they know that if they keep doing it, they'll die. Wow. We want everyone else to change. For us. So the fact of the matter is, I love this. Questions you may have concerning the transition of new lead pastor, lead elder at Harvest Assembly. And they've just got some questions there. They're in the back. And he didn't highlight it. I'm taking the advantage of being the guy from the outside who can get away with saying things because I get on a plane and go home. Okay? I love these guys. I love David. I love Harold. I love the team. I don't have a horse in the race. Is that okay? I don't. It's like I'm going to manipulate things from the outside as being an older person who's got a smidgen of wisdom, and I shall use that. I have no desire to do that. You're the people that are going to walk through a process. And that brother had it right on this morning about unity. Unity is an amazing thing. I'm not going to go through this. I'm just going to say, I love the fact that you have this here. You have some pertinent questions. You have them answered the best way that they can be answered because, but do you know what tomorrow's going to bring? What? Monday? Wow. See, you never should ask a question if you know what the answer is going to be. Okay, it's going to be Monday. And the best job they can do at forecasting temperatures, you know, on Tuesday it's going to be beautiful. I'm going to get off work early. Let's play golf. Great. It's going to be 72 degrees, 5-mile-an-hour winds, no chance of rain. Monday goes by. Suddenly the forecast changes. But you've already made your tea time. Huh. It just, things morph and move on. So what is the important thing here? It's not the external movement of what takes place. It's the internal heart that carries itself through the movement. It is always internal. Jesus prayed in John 17. And I know I've got my... Yeah, I called him in the first service. I called him my James Bond glasses. So you are in for a treat. Ready? Now, I'm glad no one's in the front row because this shoots actually a laser beam. No. Aren't they cool? Yeah. Paid $1 million for them. No, I think I paid $20 at Rite Aid. There you go. John 17. Now, when Jesus prays, I have a feeling God listens. Right? I mean, don't you think? But when you pray, you're going, well, I'm not Jesus. Well, no, but biblically, according to John 15 and 17, Jesus prays that the Father and acknowledges that the Father loves you as much as he loves his Son. Is that bizarre? I mean, that's just an amazing fact. John 17, 20, he says, I don't pray for these alone, but I also pray for those who will believe me through their word. That's us. We're the ones that are coming down the line. And then he says this, I pray that all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's an incredible prayer that Jesus is praying for us to be one. I want to say this. In the 1970s, our church went through a church split because people took sides and battled each other, and even just like the Civil War, literal brothers went against brothers. It was not good for anybody. In the 1980s, I was part of a church with one of the guys that had left. I left, got married, was gone for a few years, came back, and connected with him again, became his worship leader, and then became associate pastor in the church there. And walked through a process of division again because people took sides, fought brother against brother, and it was just a very sad thing. And then I went to Kansas City in 1992, and there was a situation where a brother was disagreeing with how things were going, and at the time I'm like, okay, well I've gone through two of these things. Now I'm just going to sit back and see how things work out. And all I saw was blessing and honoring, and everyone. Now that didn't mean that it wasn't ugly. It didn't get ugly. I'm not professing ugliness here. I'm just saying that what people chose to do was to embrace honor, to embrace wisdom, and to not burn bridges. Okay? And so I'm kind of here this morning because I don't know all the details of everything going on and what's happening and what David's stepping down and who's going to do what and people vying for position. And all I know is that I know church. And you're all being very quiet and not laughing so that you don't get connected to what I'm saying. But I understand. I know what it's like to sit in church and watch something go on. And so I'm like, but I don't know all the answers. Neither does Harold. Neither does Dr. Cox. Neither does David. What about Jack? What about you and Jack? It says here. It's one of the things that it says here. I'll just read it. I know. Put the glasses on. The process of selection and affirmation is going to be undertaken with great prayer, guidance of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, thoughtfulness, wise counsel. That's really true. Everything that I have been brought into the last few months has been bathed in prayer, wise counsel. There's no accusation. Just those things aren't happening. It is people without an agenda except for God's agenda. So can I commend the elders here of this church to you to trust God as they process it? Let me tell you something. As I said right in the beginning, I talk turkey. If people know, and they know that I will be kind, but people know that I will share something that is truthful. Okay? So I was here 5 years ago. Who is here in the last 5 years that you're sitting there going, who is he? Just raise your hand. Let me see. Okay. All right. Nobody. Except I'm a love son. And I've grown as a love son to understand how my father's heart beat. And he is for relationship over structure. Okay? He wants relationship. When he spoke to Abraham, he called him Abram. He said, through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed? No, he didn't say that. Through all the churches of the earth will be blessed? No, he didn't say that. He said, through you all the families will be blessed. And if you look the thread of family throughout Old and New Testament, family is a major point because God decided to give his expression of identity as father, not leader. Okay? So I just want to commend, will they be perfect? No. Have they been perfect? No. How do I know that? What do you know that makes them not perfect? Because they're human and they're not dead yet. Okay. So then he said, we have some outside counsel to guide and process. The elders have been blessed to have Papa Jack Taylor, Chris Dupre, men full of wisdom and gray hair to give wise counsel. I pray that's the case. So for those not knowing, I came here for a number of times years ago, but I've been in constant contact with Harvest over the years, with David, with Harold, and some of the others. I've been on an education symposium, a number of them, with William Cox, Dr. Cox, from Regent here. So we've sat on boards and things like that over the years. I've stayed connected. So I love this place. I have a heart for this place. But my heart today is I'm just telling you, my heart today is as a dad who's been around for a while, got saved 4 years ago. No, it's 1973, 44. Holy mackerel. I was 3 at the time. So, how do you walk through a process when things appear to be fracturing? Now, I'm not speaking fracturing, but anytime there's change, we get, There's a production of The Christmas Carol done in Kansas City. It's one of, literally, I've seen a number of them. It's the best production I've ever seen anywhere. And they decided after 14 years to change a scene. It was subtle. And there was uproar from Kansas City. How dare you have him come down the other steps? He doesn't put his coat on. And then he throws the, it's like, It actually kind of added to it, but they didn't want the change. And so I just want to encourage you. Change is either something we embrace and we see and we embrace and our heart says, okay, Lord, what is my responsibility through this? Or it's thrust upon you. And I would rather be on the front end. I've had change thrust upon me. I had a doctor come to me one day when I took my dad into the hospital to have this little biopsy done. And when the biopsy was done, they called me to the surgical waiting room. I got there and the doctor came in. He said, I'm sorry, your father died on the table. That's change that's thrust upon you. You don't expect. So what do you do at that moment? I also have walked through processes in churches, and either internally or externally. And when change comes, how I carry my heart is of utmost importance. So I have some things numbered. I just numbered them the other day on the way here. So I don't really have anything. I'm not a numbers guy when it comes to these. But I looked at John 15:17, which I love. It says this, these things I encourage you to do, that you love one another. Does that sound reasonable? These things I think are a good idea, that you love one another. I suggest to you that you love, no. He says, these things I command you to love one another. New Testament does not have many commandments. Jesus speaks about the greatest commandment. He takes two into one. Actually, he takes 10 into one is what he's really doing there. And technically, if you want to see, go to all the Old Testament, which I taught on the Old Testament, one of the 600 plus commandments, and he boils them down. And the word that it boils down into is being commanded to love and to love well. So I want this side to look over to that side. Okay, you don't have to say anything. All I'm asking you is, can you love them throughout the whole process you're about ready to go through? Okay, let me this time ask you to say something. Can you love them throughout this whole process? Yeah. Well, you guys look at them. Can you love them? Harold, yes, thank you. He had his left hand going, I don't know. All right, So I'm going to take seven areas that I want in a few minutes here. Because, you know, I lived in New York City for a year. And I remember a building being built, and they had to fence up around the whole area, except for one small area, that if you illegally went through that winding little area, you could see the hole that was dug for the big building. Now, I don't know how I got through that little area, but I wanted to see the hole. Kids don't do this at home. And so I get to the area, and there's a little chain link fence, and it's like, I couldn't see the bottom of the hole. So I took a stone and I threw it in, and I didn't hear the stone. So I took a bit. This is a Sunday afternoon. Nobody was there. And I took this larger stone and I threw it in. Oh my gosh. How big is this? And I wasn't going to go past the chain link fence. And I'm looking like this. And then this monstrous man out of nowhere goes, "What are you doing?" I just want to say, nothing, I'm just scared right now. And he was so big, he had one of those yellow hats on that looked like a thimble. It just kind of stuck there. And I said, "Sorry, I just wanted to see how big the hole was." And then he said something to me that changed my life forever. He really did. He goes, "Well, we're building a tall building." And he really was. This is a bunch of skyscrapers. And if you don't go deep first, you can't go tall. I said, "There you go." So what is the deep part called? The deep part's called Ephesians 3, that I be rooted and grounded in what? Love. My responsibility is below surface. My responsibility is to build a foundation that is rooted and grounded in love. Above the surface is God's responsibility, because he said, "I will build my church." Oh, so I'm going to let him take care of what people see, and I'm going to live in a world where people don't see and build. All right? That's where things are now. Let God build this place how he wants to, and let your responsibility be to embrace loving well and let the roots of love go deep. I'm rooted and grounded in love. And I'll tell you, it's really true. What roots you have will determine the fruit you have. It's always true. So number one, I'm going to go through five or six things here real fast. How do we position ourselves in a time of change that's come on me that I had no real control over? Well, number one is you have an atmosphere of honor. You continue to create and build honor one for another. You just do that. Well, I don't agree. Well, I don't think God really asks you to honor people that you only agree with. Okay? All you have to do is live long enough to go through a few different presidents of the United States. See, I don't even need to say anything after that. How do we honor? How do we honor people? Proverbs 8:30 and 31, it says, God was daily my delight. It's actually talking about the Trinity being together constantly. It's really a fabulous little snippet into the Trinity itself, and God being God in eternity. And it says, daily my delight. And there was a daily delight, and it says, ongoing love affair within the Godhead. So because of that, I picked up that the language of the Godhead is the language of love and honor. So I want that. I you know, as it is in heaven, so let it be on earth. I want to capture, here's the trick for me. I want to capture how God relates to God in heaven. I want to capture how he's always related to himself. I want to capture how he relates to those that are there. I want to capture that language, pull it down onto earth, because it's in heaven and earth. And then I want to have a language, the language of heaven, that is filled with honor. How do you nurture it? You're free with it. Let me tell you something. If you do not have a habit of honor. I'm going to talk turkey again. If you come here to church and all you come to is waiting for someone to blast you with a prophetic word or honor or to compliment you, if you don't, I want to encourage you, come packing. Okay? Come packing. My favorite time during services, in our church we have a half an hour. In the church when I moved from Nashville, I was in Nashville before, I'm now in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. But when I was in Nashville, we had 45 minutes between services. First one ended at 10, second one started at 10:45. I have 45 minutes to tell people why I love them. That was my favorite time of church. People say, you're a worship leader, you've been worshiped for 40 years. I know. But my one aspect of how God wants me to love and to worship him is to honor others. And I'll tell you, that 45 minutes, without realizing it, the amount of relationships that got established in love and the commitment from one another, you can't replace it. So be free with honor, model it, put it in the system of your home. And if you're not getting honor at home, then begin to honor until honor shows up. If you're not getting honor at work, begin to honor until honor shows up. And if you feel here, well, I don't know if that was done honorably. Well, then honor those that you're not sure they did something honorably. All I know is that at this point, I'll just be honest with you. At this point, every conversation and every text message and every email I've had here from the elders here has been filled with honor and the desire to do the will of God. That speaks, because I'll tell you, I go to a lot of churches and I don't see that. I see someone reaching out and it's painful, and then I see what I call the reaction. The reaction, you know, have you ever noticed that one action is so much, the reaction is so much worse than the action? Like when you're a little kid, somebody gives you a punch, a little punch in the arm, and then you haul off and smack him in the face. What was that? Well, you punched me. Well, I tapped you in the arm. You know, and so I just want to encourage you. Reaction is, I don't see much God in reaction. I see God in action, but not in reaction, because reaction is the response to someone else who's forcing me to do something. In other words, they're the puppet master, I'm the puppet. If someone does something I disagree with and my reaction is worse than what they did, they own me. I don't want to be owned. I want to be his son. I want to be free in my affection, in my love, in my wisdom. And I'll just tell you right now, if in the midst of the journey that you walk through, you don't agree with something, and then your reaction pops up even stronger, something's wrong. Number two, real fast, because I'm going real fast. Understand boundaries. Yes, that's right. They need to understand my boundaries. Good fences make good neighbors. So I come to church. God bless you. God bless you. Can I hug you? No. Do you need prayer? Never. I'm God's son. I don't need prayer. These little weak people up there. See, I knew it at some point in time. I walk. These boundaries have nothing to do with you. Zero. What I'm saying is this. Understand others' boundaries. Oh, what do you mean? Well, I have a friend who's got four daughters that are all 13 and under. My daughters are all in their 30s. So I can go out anytime I want. Hear what I'm saying? College years are all done. And I can say, hey, Vinny, you want to go out and get some wings maybe and then maybe play nine holes before it gets dark? I can't. I got to help somebody with their homework, and then I'm rushing one to a soccer game. Oh, come on. I'm not honoring their boundaries. In a community that when we go through things right now, we need to honor the boundaries that others have at the moment. That's honor. to be able to see where they're at, and to realize how if I am trying to knock down their boundaries, I'm now living in such a selfish place that I want them to compromise themselves, their families, or their jobs just for me. Let me tell you something. Going through a process in a church like this, you need to understand the boundaries that others have, even about conversations that they don't want to get into. Which brings me to number three. Recognize the entrance of a political spirit. Well, that got quiet. Okay. Could tell a joke about penguins, and that would make everybody smile, but I won't. A political spirit, what am I talking about? Well, I'm of Paul. Well, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Chris. No one ever says that. I'm of Chris. Anyway, I'm of this one. I'm of that one. I'm gonna go into this camp. Please be in the camp of the Holy Spirit. Please be in the camp of a son or daughter of God. Please don't even find a camp to go to. Okay? Because I can tell you right now, I know that the elders want to move forward with the best possible scenario for harvest. I know that to be true. I have prayed, and they've cried in my presence about it, of wanting nothing but the heart of God and hearing his heart and what he's saying. But in the process, they're not going to do everything correctly. I know. You know why you're not responding? Because yeah, that's right. They're not perfect. You already know that. Okay, so what do we focus on? Do we focus on their desire of their heart, or do we focus on their imperfection? Those that focus on imperfection open themselves to a political spirit which becomes divisive. And then what happens is you look for somebody else who feels the same way, and you have a new friend. And you get energy. You get energy from being negative. Boy, everybody liked me till about this one. I was like, oh well. All I know is this. I've watched people couple, and I knew it was because of a negative spirit. I watched someone couple recently who was very positive and now has turned about some things. And I'm like, so I had to go talk to him. I said, I love you, but I want to be really honest with you. Yeah, go ahead. This is what I saw. I'm not accusing you of anything. This is what I saw. This is where you were. This is the journey it appears you've been on. And it appears that this is where you are now. Wow. Am I right? Yes. Is that good? No. Does it give you energy? Yes. Is it God? No. And this is what I call them, false friends. People that couple out of negativity are false friends. It's not a real friendship because it's not based in the love of God. It's based in the weakness of human beings. Okay? Number four, see relationship as a garden that needs to be tended. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at Harold. Yep. I want to tend his garden. Yes, sir. I'm going to put some weed killer on there. No. Please understand what I'm saying. Garden needs to be tended. You water others and you weed your own. That's it. When you start weeding other people's gardens, you have no permission to go there. As a matter of fact, in Song of Solomon, when he talks about the relationship and the Shulamite maiden, he invites her to what he calls, ready for this, the enclosed garden. The word enclosed means protected. So when you come into someone else's garden where God wants the relationship to be enclosed and protected, and you start weeding and attacking somebody else's garden, you are in dangerous territory. Weed your own and water others. If you can do that, your life will be so trans... that's not at all the word I wanted to use. It's transformed. Okay, I'll use that one. Why not? much better. number five. Understand that relationships and situations that God created seasons, and we all know this, Ecclesiastes 3, and when the birds sang it back in the 1960s, to everything there's a season, any time for every purpose. Oh, sorry. That was my music. I was born in 82. And the has anybody ever seen these things on Scientology that are on now, Leah Remini? It's kind of scary, isn't it? How would you like to be a Scientologist and then leave? Well, Chris, should you be talking about Scientology? People could be listening to this. I don't care. Okay? When you get into a place where the front door is huge, but the back door doesn't exist, you're in a scary place. I need to have an open hand when someone comes in. Greetings, it's so good to see you. Here's my hand. Welcome, it is good to see you. Time goes by, life goes by. They're not sure of things that are going on here. They're going, I need to step away for a bit. No, don't go. If you go, we really can't talk to you anymore. What? When did that happen? My kids got up, they grew up, and they moved out of the house. I said to them when they were going to go get married, don't you dare get married because I will never speak to you again. No, they're supposed to soar. They're supposed to get out of. So there's sometimes when that hand that brought them in, that hand then is there to say, I love you. You are always welcome in my home. During this journey right now, don't do anything else except have an open hand and an open heart for people to go on their own journeys to figure out how to do this thing called transition. Is that okay? I don't want somebody to be somewhere because I want them there. I never wanted my daughters to leave. Rebellious kids left. But as a result, I have five absolutely gorgeous grandchildren, and I love it. number six, real fast, break bread together. Create a time to unfold your hearts and then focus on the ability to love well. I wrote a book that's back there. I'm not trying. Oh, it's right here. I'm really terrible at these. Thanks for showing them, but I just don't do it. It's called The Love Project. It's because a kid came up. I hadn't seen him in 2 years. I helped him through a horrible situation in his life. He embraced me and cried in my arms, called me dad, and da-da-da. 2 years goes by. Service is over with. The pastor said to me, yeah, this is in Nashville, I said, hey, Chris, I want to talk to you afterwards. I got some questions. I want to ask you about some stuff. So I said, okay, great. So I'm sitting in the front row, and the kid walks by. I haven't seen him in 2 years. I said, Tom. He looks at me and goes, hey, dude, good to see you. Love you. Call me. I want to take my shotgun, which I did not bring to church, but I do have at home. I just thought, you know, it's like, where are you going? What are you doing? I gotta. And then he stood over in the corner and waited for someone else to talk. So he had time. And what this did to me was that it, you know, love ya. What's the depth of that word? Love. I love ice cream. I love football. I love my wife. So where's the follow-up with that? So the ability to follow up and so that people don't feel your love based on circumstances. So that they know they're loved no matter what, so they're free to do what they sense they should do, even if it's wrong in the long run. God, 8:28, is going to be able to take it and do something good from it, even if something is, because their heart may be in a good place, but they're hurt. We don't know why people do things. All I know is I don't want to keep people in a place they're not supposed to be in if God has a journey for them that doesn't look like what I think it is. All right, real fast. And another thing about just that aspect, creating a place where people can come and go. I've been a leader. I got ordained in the early middle 80s. And one of the things that I came out of a movement before that in the 70s called the shepherding movement. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it, but there was a whole lot of control out of the shepherding movement. The response to the whole lot of control when you get out of it is to have no control. And then you go back over here and say, well, it's not control, it's wisdom issues that we need to give people. And then some of those wisdom issues turn into whatever, and it's kind of like, okay, what's the balance? And I've come up with one sentence that for me helps me more than anything else, is that leadership or relationship is not ownership. Okay? I don't own anyone. John 3 says the bridegroom has the bride. That means the bridegroom literally owns the bride. Therefore, I don't. And anytime I want to take ownership of the bride, I am ripping it out of Jesus' hands. I don't want to rip anything out of Jesus' hands. I want his arms to embrace me. I don't want to rip something out of his hands or rip someone. So leadership and relationship are not ownership. That helps me to no end. I'm going to leave it at 7 here because I'm out of time, but I want you to turn to, if you have, to Ephesians chapter 2. There's four little books together, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, which I like to lovingly refer to as General Electric Power Company, if that helps you remember it. You ever worked there? No. Do you? I also use Gentiles eat pork chops. That's actually my favorite one. Gentiles eat pork chops. the thing here, I'll just be honest. I want Harvest to be here decade after decade after decade. I want to see growth. I want to see young people coming into this church. I want babies being born every month. I want to see people that are 70 here, 50 years from now, they're 120 and they're still coming. I want this place to have a heritage that is deep, that runs long, that is generation after generation. But here's the thing. If we don't love well through processes like this, all right, on the other side of things, we might have a group together, but I wrote it down here. If we only have a heritage without love, we're nothing more than a museum. Buildings, here's the thing. Buildings that are known for having a heritage are called museums. Buildings that have movement are called homes. My desire is that this place would be a home and a family, generation after generation, because they learn how to love one another. Don't let form win over function. All right, last but not least, I want to read this last scripture in Ephesians, the last part of chapter 2. Now therefore, fellow citizens, foreigners, fellow, no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now listen to this. In whom you are being built together. Why is God building Harvest together? It's for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Here's the thing, God, there's so many churches. There aren't enough churches for all the people. There just aren't, there never will be. Don't ever believe the lie that there's too many churches. Oh, there's too many good families. No, there aren't. And there aren't too many churches. It says God is building it for the, really what he's saying is he's building this group of people as a dwelling place for God's Holy Spirit to move. That's what that scripture means. Is that what you want? Okay, so I want to do this, and I know I'm going to probably I'm 5 minutes over. I'm sorry. Are you, Paul? Am I okay? Okay, I want everybody to come up here. Fill up the front real fast. I give you 7 seconds. All right, I'll give you more. Still love me? Never love me? Who never loved me? Number people raise their hand. I don't know you. Why should I love you? God said you have to love me. Almost there. This is awesome. This is good. Now I want you to kiss as many people on the cheek as but no. Just who had that word in the beginning about family? What was that? What was that about unity? Who was that? You did? Can you say what it was again? How many say amen to that?
Amen.
He's unifying the house. Okay, this is what I want you to do. I want the first two rows, first half. I want you to turn around and face the others. Wow. That made it pretty uncomfortable, didn't it? I don't know if I want this unity thing. These are the people that you're going to walk through. And so this is what I want you to do. I want you to hold hands, put your arms around each other. Look at each other if you want, but I want you to pray this with me. All right? I know some men are actually holding hands with other men. They're grimacing, but they're doing it. Pray this with me. Father, you are a great father. You don't make mistakes. We're your sons and your daughters. We couldn't be more thankful. Thank you for putting me in this family. I ask for your heart so that I can love as you love. I ask for your mind so that your thoughts are mine. And that throughout this journey, as things change and transition, I can be a voice of blessing, a voice of hope, a voice of honor, and a person who loves well. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, go for it. Hug those people.
Amen. And to this morning, before you leave, we're going to have an opportunity of sharing communion together. So if you could find your seat. Huh? And ushers, if you could prepare to distribute communion. What a great way to enter this time of remembering the Lord's suffering, his death. What he gave for us. And as we prepare to do this, could you just bless Chris for his message, his word today for us? Thank you. Thank you. As our ushers come forth to distribute the elements, as normal, this day we're going to take up an offering for the House of Blessing, just a great, tremendous opportunity that we have to bless those in our house and also outside and in our community. So give generously. 100% of what you give goes to those in need. So if you could start to distribute the offering bags. And then we'll go ahead and distribute the elements, and we're going to partake together as his family.
Surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears have come. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. No longer a slave to fear.
We are children of God, part of His family. Would you stand as we partake together? In another perhaps awkward moment, I want you all to face one another this middle aisle. Just turn and look at each other. You see, when we come to this table, we come to this table as family because of what God has done for us. We partake and we remember together that we are part of God's family because of His great sacrifice to us. So we take the bread and we say, Father, we stand at this table. We recognize what You have done, that Your body was nailed to the cross for our salvation. And Father, because of what You did, You have brought us together as Your children around this table to remember You. And so, Father, we partake together. Let us partake of the bread. And likewise, we take the cup. I want you just to look at one another. You see, the blood that was shed on Calvary for me, for you, has made us equal in the sight of God. That His blood has cleansed all of us from unrighteousness, all of us from sin and condemnation, all of us from guilt and shame. It is His blood that unites us together. Let us partake together. So, Father, thank You that You have called us to be a family. Now, Father, may we love more than we've ever loved before because of Your great love for us. May we walk our lives out together in unity and in supernatural love because of Your great grace and mercy toward us. We proclaim this in Your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a marvelous week.